This is GamesAtWork.biz with Phaedra Boinodiris, Sandy Kearney, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with. This is episode 91, Ravi Talent Interview.
Hello, this is Michael Martin, and we're here with another edition of Games at Work, this time from our mobile recording studio here in Budapest. In fact, my last recording in Budapest. And I'm really, really, really happy to be joined by the two co-founders of Gravitalent, a gentleman by the name of Balázs Verdes and David Szilhágy. So, Balázs and David, welcome. I'm glad to be here with you today.
Welcome. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. So, Gravitalent is probably a new name to many people, and one of the things that we'd like to start with is how you and David got to know one another and how the game and game mechanics began to be part of the work that you're doing today. So Balázs, why don't you kind of give us the origin story?
Yeah, well, I met David at an accelerator program. Where I was thinking about how to approach startup companies and how to measure how well the team fits together.
Yes.
And that something is really tenuous and hard to do with startups, as they are in very liquid form. And somehow what I experienced is that traditional measurement of performance and talent and soft skills do not really work with startups. So I met David there, who was trying to assess startups for funding and investment.
Mm-hmm.
And we started talking about, well, how should we tackle this? How can we measure people in startup teams? And then what we tried to do is create simulations, game situations. At that time, it was all offline and just sitting around in a room and giving fun tasks and challenges and puzzles to these startup people. And what we saw is that there was immediately a click. They really got into it, and then we started seeing a lot of nuance and distinction in good teams, between good teams and not so good teams. So somehow it really, really struck us as an interesting way to evaluate people in non-traditional forms of organization. Somehow the startup world made us thinking about a new way to assess.
Right. So David, in the startup world, many people come to it, they realize that they have to work really, really hard, and they have to connect and gel with their teammates fast. Mm-hmm. So what did you learn from those initial, offline game playing experiences that influenced where you and Balázs took Gravitalent?
Yeah, as Balázs mentioned, we had been struggling with assessing the right person, the right entrepreneur when it comes to funding. And we've been working on that with my mentor and CEO at iCatapult, Imre Hild, who was the one who introduced us to each other. And we figured out that the most important is the attitude of the entrepreneur and behavioral traits that we cannot measure the traditional way. So we could not use any traditional assessment methods to reveal the real performance and behavior before we would even meet the entrepreneur. So we figured that we would need a tool to assess them before we take the time to organize the meeting and before we go into details on the personal meeting.
Cool. So in doing so and thinking about the entrepreneur themselves and trying to match the entrepreneur with the right opportunity, mm-hmm. you're kind of doing an assessment that way in addition to matching the right talent to work on that entrepreneurial activity and work together to make it a success.
Exactly. That's right. Exactly.
And what we started to see, started to realize, is that gaming and gameplay is not just entertainment, but it somehow is an avenue to express yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, especially with younger people, and here in Budapest, the ecosystem of startups has a lot of young people from in college or out of college, and their natural language of self-expression is gaming. Mm-hmm. And it's not just entertainment, but they really do play differently. Play reveals so much in such a short time that you cannot really get at with an hour-long test. And what we started seeing is that tests for them, traditional psychological tests, did not allow them to express who they really were. Because these questions on these psychological tests come from, you know, often 30, 40 years ago, and were formulated with a very different setting, culture, person. It's just going past them, not getting at who they really are.
So Balazs, that's very interesting. And David, you showed me a couple of weeks ago sort of the grid as to the various criteria that you can measure people now with the Graph Talent game experience. Can you share a little bit of that with the listening audience here? What do you look at, and then how do you actually determine where people are on that spectrum of skill?
Yeah, so far we mentioned entrepreneurs assessment.
Yes.
I need to add that last year, after having finished with the first experiments, offline gameplay experiments with these startup teams, we moved to Italy to establish the company there. And in the meantime, we sort of changed focus from assessing only entrepreneurs, to assessing talent in companies and talent in startup companies, small companies. So the things that we measure in our games are work attitude, work style, and cognitive style of the player. So we have a number of different dimensions in these three major areas, and our games right now focus on these metrics right now.
What we try to do is to measure things that are straightforward, and yet, for example, half fast. You might not work really well, but you work fast. And then the other thing is that how meticulous are you in trying to solve a problem? Mm-hmm. How much do you persevere? You might not be fast, but you might be just somebody who is not going away until the problem is solved. So we have right now 9 different categories that we measure, and the back end measures about 450 variables continuously as you.
Wow, and you, and from what I remember too, you've also brought in behavioral scientists and cognitive specialists to help influence the way that the data that you collect is actually then interpreted and used, so that you're getting real valid and valuable information out of the game players, and then helping to match them with the skill needs of companies.
That's right. We work with psychologists and experts of assessment in HR fields, sociologists, behavioral scientists, and of course, data science. A lot of the data mining is complex. But what we have learned, and that was really surprising when we started doing the first experiments and collecting the data, and the data was coming in, and we were looking at both videos of gameplay and also these 400 variables. What we were surprised about is that how differently,
yes,
that these gameplays were not just, you know, a little bit slower, a little bit faster, but the patterns were so different. We were looking at the video of gameplays, and we were just amazed. Wow, look at it. I never thought you can play that way. So it was so important to see other people play. That's what gave us really the push to go forward, to see this huge variation in gaming styles.
So obviously, as a game, this is a highly visual thing, and this is an audio podcast, so it makes it a little bit difficult. but David, can you take a try at explaining what it looks like? And we'll obviously have YouTube videos and others so you can see and watch the gameplay. But David, take a crack at explaining how the gameplay works.
Our game actually is similar to lots of games outside in the world, available in different app stores. In this game, the players need to build a structure from the ground up to an indicated area that we call the target area. They need to click to place nodes and build the tower up to that point. It's more like different games with the in-game gravity in which they need to build bridges or different towers.
It's like a spaghetti bridge game, and then what we did there is that we're looking for a game that is that allows us to imagine openness so that you can play it different ways. And this game where you have to place nodes and put links between them and build up something that looks like maybe an Eiffel Tower or a haystack if you're not that good at that.
Yes.
Is something where there's this openness that people can play around with their own styles. You can play like an engineer and be really meticulous, so you can play in an organic way, or you can try to pile up nodes real fast. So this was our first attempt, this construction game. And we envision lots of other games that are in the pipeline that we develop that would get at different kinds of skills, speed, how well you tolerate a monotonous task or something. Something that tests your reaction times and you be fast. But this one is about constructing in a gravity field.
Yeah, so the game physics, I think, are really pretty good. Having played it before myself, I think the spaghetti bridge example is really quite good, because if you can imagine using little bits of clay and connecting a piece of spaghetti into the clay and then connecting the other end of the spaghetti into another bit of clay, this is how you build up these nodes and connections. Yeah. And gravity has an impact on this. If you don't build your structure carefully, it will collapse into a haystack instead of presenting itself as an Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
And part of the gameplay is the learning about how that works and then the reactions of the player to determine where they fall on the various spectra, right? Can you execute a monotonous task? Can you do something that is quick and reaches the goal in the target zone on the screen?
Or what do you do when your Eiffel Tower collapses and becomes a haystack? So one of the things that we look at in our measurement is those seconds after a collapse. How do you click with your mouse? What do you do then? Are you freezing and just waiting and getting shocked, or are you panicking and just clicking fast, or are you just erasing the board and starting over with a different style? So that's one of the important moments in the game when we really can get at some behavioral foundation.
And what I personally love about this is that game and gameplay is such that you can erase the board and start over again, right? If you die in a video game, you're not really dead. Right, so games encourage people to try things, new things, and if it doesn't work, that's fine. Try again, another experiment. Find a way to reach the goal. And this allows you to see how potential employees work in this way.
That's right.
So David, let me ask you a quick question, too, about the name. So any startup, you know, goes through a period where you really struggle with the name. So Gravy obviously has a meaning here. Talk to us about how you came up with the name and why this was the perfect one for you.
Yeah, actually, that was a huge pain to find the right name for our startup. We've had some previous names that actually we tried to use, but we could see that it never really worked out to stick with those ones. And we came up with Gravy Talent because we wanted to express that we help companies to not only to find the talent, but help these companies to gravitate the talent to them. And we saw like gravity, the source, this power gravity, a good synonym or feature that we could implement in our name.
Yeah, I remember David bringing in gravity, and then we started maybe gravity and the number, gravity 7, gravity 2, gravity 0, that's not very good.
Floating away.
Yeah, then we also try to avoid names that sound too much like pregnancy vitamins. but then we ended up with Gravity Talent, which I think is capturing what we are trying to do, is that we are not thinking about this as a filtering assessment tool that's in the hands of an employer. We are thinking about this as an expression tool that's in the that's empowering the applicant or empowering the player, the person who is gravitating towards an employer, an organization, a cause, or a mission. We're not trying to see this as a filtering device. We're trying to see this as a gravity, something where if you use this, you can attract people who find a way to express themselves much better than
forms of. No, I love it. I view it sort of as that mutual attraction, right? You know, engagement and job satisfaction and profitability all have very tight linkages with one another. And if you have an engaged, empowered employee who is matched well to their job, who is matched well to their colleagues, is matched well to their company, it's beneficial to everybody. And you're looking for like things to attract to like things, companies, people, teams.
Exactly.
You know, we try to minimize this loss that's happening now, that there are all these talented young people who just getting sidelined because they're not expressing themselves with thick tests and paper tests or hour long 140 question battery, you know, surveys, and they're just getting sidelined into the pile of rejects. And we want to find them. We want to let people find them. Let these young people express, you know, they really were, find the talent.
Exactly. I have several friends who told me the stories of the times when they rejected to go to work at a specific company only because their assessment method was so long and painful that they said no way they were gonna work at their company after having sit there for 4 hours in a small room assessing different tests. Yeah, that's really not for Generation Y and really not for the 21st century. We need to come up with better solutions to assess talent the right way.
Yeah, I mean, this is very interesting too because the typical talent acquisition process might be, I'm going to an agency, you know, I'm looking for resumes, I have various online job boards where I can collect information. And then as the applicants come in, I know it varies depending on where you are in the world. In Asia, there are different practices than there are here in Europe versus the Americas. But a lengthy assessment that is A, not fun, and B, not engaging, sends a signal for what kind of company you might be, right?
Exactly.
And these are employment practices, I think, Balaji said this earlier, have been around for 30 or 40 years, haven't been updated, they've served the companies well. But now is the time to say we have a new generation, we have new needs, and if you want to attract the people who know how to work in a social and mobile space, you need to go where they are and find them and bring them to you.
That's right. If you look at these tests that are being administered now, they come from 30, 40, even sometimes. Our vision is that we would use these games maybe a year or two and then retire them. We want to keep the pace. Maybe 5 years from now, this construction game that we have will be just so important. People will come on job market, new people. So we want to follow and change the tool, change the game, and retire games that are tired and bring in new ones. But nevertheless, the measurement, the behavioral measurement, and the excitement and the engagement should be there. So that's how we think about the tools.
And to me, that's important too, because any game can be gamed, right?
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
So, you know, when successful applicants start producing YouTube videos about how great they scored on various games, there might be others that say, oh, I could do that too.
Yeah.
So being able in the internet speed of saying we're trying to assess qualities, we're trying to capture the real person, how will we do this in a way that is quick, it's authentic, you know who the person is, they know what they're trying to do, and it creates value for both sides of the equation is, I think, important.
Yeah, that's right. So you know, every assessment has disadvantages as well. And here, what we need to keep an eye on is that once the YouTube videos start appearing, we know that it's time to retire the the game and come up with a new one. So that's, we don't see our job to create the test and then just sit back. We have to constantly create, keep new games in the pipeline. We do have already worked on 4 or 5 different game mechanics. And then what we are trying to bring in is a multiplayer game, which is now a step completely away from the traditional logic of assessment. Because how you think about assessment in a traditional psychological test is just you and the paper and a pencil, and you answer those questions, 1 to 5, yes or no. But in an assessment that's multiplayer, you can get at things that you were never able to get at, or very expensively, very, you know, time and money-wise, very expensive methods were there. But in a multiplayer game, you can see clicks, synergies, chemistries. You want to have a fifth person to your four-person team. And it's not just the best psychological test result or a CV that's really fitting that, but you want to have the chemistry there. And that might not be something that you can easily do with.
So David, let's expand on Balazs's point. How do you envision a multiplayer version of the Gravity game or other games emerging? How would that happen? How would the user experience playing with another applicant or playing with a team member?
Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at this spaghetti bridge game that we have right now. We call it Virtuoso. And we already have the multiplayer version of Virtuoso in which the applicants can play with each other at the very same time, on the very same level. And in this game, they need to compete with each other on one level, and on the next one, they need to collaborate in order to reach the goal. Not to mention that we have another level in which they need to collaborate using the very same resources. So it's very important to see if you need to take the challenge and reach your goal. Do you consider how well the other player is actually building the structure or when your other player is coping some difficulties? Do you help there in order to avoid wasting your resources? Do you help the other person out and then continue with your primary goal? So right now we have this version up and running. And what we are working on is the AI in this game. So we can let one client pick the right AI to test everybody on in that playing field. So when that happens, the candidates will not have to be playing the game at the very same time, but they can take the challenge and play the very same AI that everybody.
That I find really exciting. You know, the concept of playing against an AI or even a ghost, you know, of someone who's played before can be really intriguing. And just to expand on that for the audience, there are various racing games, for example. So I might play a driving game and I'm racing, and then my time, my actions, how I go around the track are recorded. And then I can come back and I can compete against myself, and I can see the ghost of my prior car. Or I could compete not in real time, but asynchronously with, you know, with a colleague, friend, whatever. Mm-hmm. So the versions of the AI where the AI learns the game style of the most successful people on the team could then turn into something that's very interesting about how that might work in a competitive or in a cooperative manner with the applicant that is being considered for the role. So
that's right. What we try to do is to have a team member already in the organization play, and then we can record and profile that team member and say, well, we have between our AI to clone this person, and now 100 or 1,000 applicants can play with this person, compete with, or collaborate with this person, so that you can identify the good clicks, the synergies, the best fits in the team without having to actually play one-on-one or having to interview them or observe them, which is really time-consuming and expensive.
Mm-hmm. You're very excited about it because this way you can actually make the assessment. You can compare one to another on an objective basis. And this is what lots of traditional assessment methods and interview situations lack.
Yeah. Do you? We've talked a little bit about this, but let's think about the future, right? The broader mm-hmm. future, right? I can imagine where someone might download this from the App Store, you know, Google's Play environment or the iTunes Store, whatever. And they may play this game because it's actually kind of fun. It's a puzzle game. And, you know, there's many puzzle games right now that people play and enjoy. And I can imagine a way where now you have a record of people who've said, yes, I'm willing to share my information. And then there are companies, startups or others, that say, gosh, this is a skill profile of a person I want to talk to. Mm-hmm. I didn't know who they were, you know. And so to me, there's... This what you're describing here is a very interesting new future, hasn't been done before, and really empowers people to find the right places and the right teams that they can work with. And it could be also not on a long-term basis, but it could be there's a project, right? We're filming a movie here in Budapest, and we need to have people with these kind of skills, mm-hmm. but they need to work well with our team that we're forming. So if you are a fantastic cameraman, but you don't have the right level of collaboration skill, rather not talk to you. So this is a way of kind of building those teams, even for project work.
Exactly. This is, as we see it, this is the real value added in our business, that we are building this benchmarking database. So the further we go with the companies we work with, the better we can offer different profiles from our database, so we can help them find the right talent that actually fits the best in their team.
What we have as a secret vision in the secret labs of our company is a is a game that would be a single player game, and it would not be about assessment primarily, but self expression. So we think about a game where you play it. Say you are about to write a blog post or an article, or you want to get started with a creative project, and it's really hard to get started. You have this writer's block. You get this, you know, chewing your pencil in the beginning. So we say, well, play this game. You play it for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. It's fun. And based on your gaming style, your predisposition at the moment, at the end of the game, based on our measurement of hundreds of variables, we give you a cloud of words, we give you a set of images, we give you text, we give you something to get started. So you can get access to your own thoughts that you find it hard to, you know, get immediate access by just chewing your pencil.
That's fascinating. That's absolutely fascinating. I mean, the level of creativity that you can now reflect back things to yourself that might help free you from the current block could be tremendous. Yeah. And one of the things that I've been thinking a lot about recently is on dynamic processes that are catered and tailored to the individual. We do so many things these days to say we're going to be doing a common global process and executing it in a common global way. Step one, step two, step three, step four. But the reality of the world is that if the end goal can be reached by doing step four, then step three, and then one and two, and that sort of that order, the system should be able to dynamically adapt itself to the user. I mean, we're getting to the point where it's not, I'm going to train you to do one, two, three, four in order, and that's it.
Yeah.
So, you know, what if there were a way to say, okay, for this kind of person, for this kind of profile, here's the starting point for what we think actually works best for them. And then the systems become learning systems, and the cognitive capability of that process or the underlying support of that process can be rearranged to say, here's a starting point that works well for Balazs, doesn't work as well for David. Mm-hmm. And then as you execute whatever that might be, it learns more about you, that it goes into the mix too.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So you see the Ender's Game, the book.
Yes, of course.
Had a deep influence in our team. So that's something that's absolutely, I think, is coming out right now. So.
Yeah, well,
that's kind of a vision.
I love that too, and this is something I've also thought, and Michael and Phaedra and Sandy and I have talked about on many occasions, that playing a game where there's an underlying benefit that is known, right? It's not secret, right? It's not hidden, because if it were, people would get upset. Mm-hmm. But if you know that, hey, when I'm using, Waze is one of my favorite examples. I'm driving around with Waze, I'm collecting points, I'm playing the game. I'm actually helping a lot of other people avoid the traffic jam or the problem somewhere else. And if we're able to play games, you know, like Foldit and others that are actually advancing science because we're trying to figure out a puzzle, and underlying that puzzle is biological input, we're helping to cure cancer, we're helping to do other things. So I love the way you've described this knowledge.
Yeah, thanks. Well, that's where we're trying to go.
So David, you're about to say something more on this.
Yeah, I was just going to add that it is fascinating to see that using games, we can actually contribute to something way bigger than ourselves. Just when you mentioned Foldit, that's a perfect example for that. And we would be happy to develop games that can actually be on the very same path.
Well, we're very excited that we've had a chance to chat here today. Where can people find out more about GraviTalent, watch for you, learn more, and stay in tune?
Yeah, you can find us on Twitter at GraviTalent, and you can find us on LinkedIn at GraviTalent, and of course at GraviTalent.com as well. And you should stay tuned because we are organizing a major event in New York in October. So that will be a lot of fun.
All right. So if you're in the New York region, you know, stay tuned for that, and we'll be sure to share it as well.
Thanks a lot.
Balazs, it's been a real pleasure to speak
with
you today.
Thank you.
David,
thank
with you as well. And with that, we'll end our mobile recording studio for today and sign off from Budapest.
See ya.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz.